Good morning, church. It is indeed an honor to be here in this house. This house who honors and worships the mighty one. I will say, and first of all, I'm overjoyed. Not only do I have Fairhill family here this morning visiting, but my grandson is here with me this morning, and we've been praying for a safe return back to American soil, and so I'm so thankful. I really am, and I don't mean to put him on the spot, but that is something he just has to deal with, and when he's a grandfather, then he'll realize the feeling one gets in knowing and seeing that your family is safe, is in the house. We've been on a series, The Proof That One Really Knows God. And so this morning we will continue with that in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 24 through 25. 1 John, the second chapter, verses 24 through 27. Excuse me. I'm sorry. And it reads like this. This is God's word. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and all that anointing is real, not counterfeit. Just as it has taught you, remain in him. Father God, this morning, we settle our hearts, our minds, as we continue in worship. As we have lifted up your name in song, now we go to the love letter that you've written to us, to your word. Father, I am nothing but a dirt clod. A dirt clod who you have breathed life into. And so, Father, I pray that I would speak nothing but of you. In your name I pray. Amen. This series, how do we know if we really know God? The first week we talked about was obeying his commands. And then the second week was obeying that command of loving one another. The third week, we talked about remembering your spiritual growth. Remember where you started from and how you've matured as a child of God. The fourth week, we talked, the test was, do we love the world? Are we in love with the world more than we are in love with him? Last week, we talked about, are we guarding against the Antichrist? This week, does the gospel that we know, that how do we know if we know God, is, does the gospel remain in us? How we live shows quicker than anything else whether or not we love God. People, when you know God, the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk, people know that you know God. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but maybe you have. Maybe you've seen someone that you say, you know what? You just look at them, you're like, man, there's something about them. Have you ever done like in an airport? There's just so many people walking by. But you look at somebody and you get to a seating area and you're like, man, there's something different about them. There's an air about them. Maybe someone's looking at you that way. I hope someone is. Someone came up to me in the airport one day and said, excuse me, this lady, probably 10 years to my seniors at least. She's like, are you a pastor? I'm like, oh, geez. The word's gotten out. Who told this lady? But I hadn't had any conversation with her. But she just said, she just came up to me and said, are you a pastor? And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I am. She goes, I could tell. And I've got to say, my heart kind of leaped. That someone would know just by the way I carry myself that they know, not necessarily that I'm a pastor, but that I belong to him. I'm one of his kids. People will know that you belong to him by the way you carry yourself before you even open up your mouth. People will know. In the same token, people will also know whether or not you belong to him if you act in a negative light. It doesn't matter whether or not you do go to worship on Sundays, or whether you pick coin in the plate. But people will know, conversely, whether or not you belong to him. Even if you say you do, because you don't act like it. You don't walk like it. You don't speak of it. The gospel lives within the life of every genuine believer, and the believer lives out the gospel. This morning we'll look at verse 24. It says, the test. It's the test. Does the gospel remain in you? Verse 25, the eternal life. And verse 26, the warning, some things that can lead us astray from Christ. And then to verse 27, the provision of God to protect us, the Holy Spirit. And so let's look at that first verse there, 24. Does the gospel remain in you? The test is clearly stated. Does the gospel remain in you? The word gospel is not used in this passage, but look at the exact words in this verse. It says, as for you, see that you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and the Father. What we heard from the beginning is the gospel. And if we just glance back a couple of verses, we were there last week. Go back to verses 22 and 23 where they denied, the denial of Jesus Christ is discussed, right? Verses 22, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whomever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. False teachers are denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They are denying the gospel. So the, But therefore, what you have heard from the beginning is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of truth, the word of God itself, the gospel, the apostolic gospel, the message there. Turn, if you have your Bible, that's not going to come up on the screen. Turn to 1 Corinthians, would you please? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. No, I'm having trouble finding it myself. 1 Corinthians 5, 15, excuse me. First Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you on first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Let me say that again. Verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, His Word, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, according to God's word. That's the truth. The gospel of salvation. Turn to Titus, if you will. Titus. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, all right? And this is what it says. For the grace of God has appeared, what offers salvation to all people. Red and yellow, black and white. It doesn't say that here, but I'm just telling you, all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. This text is saying, don't live like them. You don't have to live like them. You don't want to live like that. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The evidence of salvation, of knowing God, is the gospel continues in you. You also will remain in the Son and the Father. The word remains here means, of course, to abide, okay? To dwell. It means not to be carried away by false teachings or worldly pleasures or passions. It means to stay with him. I can't remember her name. She does inductive studies. Help me out, Deborah. Kay Arthur. Okay, Kay Arthur. She says, she has this famous saying in her teaching. She says, hangest thou in there? Hangest thou in there? That's what it means to abide in him. Hangest thou in there? How do we know if we know God? Does the gospel continue to live in your lives? Are we continuing to live in the Son and the Father? Is the gospel being lived out in our lives? Are we confessing Jesus Christ to be our Son, the Son of God? Are you doing that?
Are you doing that loud and proud? This guy I was reading on social media, he was in an accident. He had just dropped off his daughter. Just dropped off his daughter for some type of dancing class. And at the next intersection, this guy wasn't paying attention or ran the light and crashed right into where his daughter was at. Hit him so hard that it pushed him through the intersection into another car. All three vehicles were totally damaged. And he walked away from it. Didn't have to take the ambulance ride, nothing around his neck, didn't have to be on the backboard. And he said, from now on, you know what? Right then, I was thanking Jesus. And from now on, I will thank him. And I will be loud and proud. Because he knew that he should, by all accounts, he shouldn't have been walking. And if he had not dropped off his daughter, not 5 minutes beforehand, she would have been dead. Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are we letting Christ live his life out through us? This is the final proof we know. We see it in these words in Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. The promise of eternal life. Verse 25. And this is what he promised us. Eternal life. This is the great promise of God to man. God has made many promises. He's made many promises and he's kept every single one. Every single one. He's kept them. And the promise of knowing that I will have eternal life, I will live forever with him, I will live forever with those here seated in this sanctuary who call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Whoo, man. There are family members outside these walls that I know I will be with for eternity. I'll be able to join my mom. Oh, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. I like y'all, but ooh. All the promises that God made, this one here supersedes them all. Eternal life is the supreme promise of God. But the thrust of this verse, the gospel must remain in us if we are to receive eternal life. What is eternal life? It is life. It is real life. It is the very life living with God himself. Having energy and power and the force, the essence of living with God, being one of him, being more like him, not living in these earthly vessels anymore, no longer having to do this anymore. No longer worrying about the aches and pains in our body, but to be able to run, scream, and shout forever and never get tired. You'll have the energy of a 2-year-old. 2-year-olds have a lot of energy. Listen, it has to do with both quality and with what life really is, with the duration. To live forever is the rest of the world. With the world like it is not necessarily a good thing. People think life doesn't get any better than this, walking this planet, they think. They might be in the house of their dreams or the vehicle of their dreams or have a closet full of Jordans. It doesn't get any better than this. Jordans, for those of you who are older than me, that's a brand of tennis shoe, all right? That costs entirely too much, all right? But I sport a pair this morning only because my grandson gifted me with them. So Having all those things are great.
But it means nothing. The only being who can be said to be eternal is God. Therefore, life supreme is found only in God. To possess eternal life is to know God. Once a person knows God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, that person has eternal life. He shall be saved forever. But more essential, the person has supreme quality of life. Life with him. Life with him. I kind of got a glimpse of what it is like with living without your Lord and Savior. I mean, you're all alone. Like this last week, I've been without my bride, Nora. It's just not been the same. It hasn't been the same. But how the quality of life will be regained once she lands in Anchorage, Ted Stevens International Airport at 11:40 this evening. Just think what it's like living with the Heavenly Father forever and ever. Can you imagine our Heavenly Father with a big sign saying, "Hey, I'm waiting for you. Come on." He has that sign. You see him at the airport. "Hey, come on. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting to live with you forever and ever. From the time you accepted me as your Lord and Savior, the time was going to happen. It was going to happen. From the time you accepted me as your Lord and Savior, I knew you would be with me and I with you." And he looks forward to that. And I can't help but think that each and every one of us do too. Verse 26, some lead us astray. There's a warning in this text. We spoke about this briefly last week, in that I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Why is John writing this letter so to the believers? One of the major reasons is given here. There are false teachers who are trying to lead them astray. The false teachers is one who attempts to lead us away from Jesus Christ. Lead us away from the glorious truth. There are some false teachers that really don't... Well, they are clueless, but they're not totally clueless, but they are. That makes no sense, but hang with me. Because there are people who will test you like, "Do you really believe in Jesus? Come on. Do you really think that somebody died on the cross, was punctured in his side, nails in their hands, was put in a grave, put in a casket, and then 3 days later popped out? Come on. Do you really believe that?" This is the one that always seems that people, the false teachers, they always will go to this one here. The Virgin Mary. Come on. You believe that? You believe that story? There will be people. There'll be false teachers who will tell you that that is not so. That there's no human way that could happen. And they're right. There's no human way that could happen. It's a God thing that makes it happen. It's a Holy Spirit thing that makes it happen. We have to watch out for those who would try to deceive us and lead us astray. This text teaches that there are other ways. There's other people who say there's other way or other approaches and other religions and other truths. You don't have to believe this way, because we're all going to go to see God. There are always teachings of false doctrine and always trying to lead people astray. Believers, you and I must be on the constant guard against false teaching. So much is at stake. The very promise of God. Will we abandon the faith because somebody is trying to, by some deception that's being thrown up in our face? We must continue to follow Christ. We must let the gospel abide and take a permanent residence inside each and every one of us. If God has really sent his Son into the world to save man, there is no chance in eternity that he will allow a person to approach him any other way. If there was some other way to the Father, do you think that the Father would have sent his Son? If there's some other way for you to come to Christ, for you to have eternal life, and God's like saying, okay, like he had to do this, but I'm just like, if I could just do this and these people would have eternal life, I'll go with that option. Or I can go with maybe this option, and maybe a goat will do it. An unblemished goat will do it. Maybe that'll work. No, that won't work. Maybe if ... But Father, there's no other way. There's no other way but to send my Son to die on the cross. If there was some other way, I grant you this, that the all-knowing would have used that option. Verse 27, the provision of God to protect us, the Holy Spirit. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. It is he who abides and remains in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us the truth. The Holy Spirit seals us with a guarantee and assures us that we do abide and remain in Christ. This last week, I was with the youth, and we're just talking about the same text here, how he stamps us. He's like, chick, yep, you belong to me, chick. Yep, you belong to me. You belong to me. We've got that stamp on us, that seal that only he can give us. Second Corinthians 1:22 says, set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit on our hearts as a deposit. As Kevin and the team comes up, I want you to know remind you, because I think everybody here knows there's only one way to him, to the Father. And that's through his Son. That's the only way. And that whatever things you are putting in the way that are keeping you from becoming one of his children, it's nonsense. It's not worth it. It's not worth letting that thing stop you from having eternal life. The life that was purchased with his blood. You know, there's that other song we sang 2 weeks ago. It's like he climbed up mountains. He knocked down doors. We too, on this side, should be like saying, hey, if I can't have eternity,
If I don't have to live a life like that, a life with whatever you're going through, whatever hardship, whatever is keeping you from eternal life, you should be running and crawling with the same integrity, with the same emphasis, with the same heart that our Heavenly Father sent His Son. I say to you this morning, if you're not there, come on. Don't let something stop you from having life. Life full. Life of abundance. An eternity with Him. What He has is worth a lot more up there than what's down here. Will you please stand?